This is Perspectives, the show where a conversation about our many differences will often show us how much we have in common. I'm Condice Presley. My guest is actor, author, and activist Hill Harper. You knew him as Hawks on CSI New York for all those seasons. You currently know him as Dr. Marcus Andrews on the ABC drama The Good Doctor. He is with us today as the winner of the Generational Barrier Breaker Award from the Peachtree Village International Film Festival right here in Atlanta. Hill Harper has broken barriers throughout his career with more than 200 films and television series to his credit. The festival says he is a beacon of light for our community. Hill Harper, nice to talk with you again. That is high praise for you from the Peachtree Village International Film Festival.
Yes, it's such an honor to be recognized like that. Whenever folks talk about career, it's a wonderful thing because it allows you to take a walk down memory lane, which most of us don't necessarily do and look back at projects we've done. But it's been so many wonderful projects, and I couldn't do any of those without the fantastic filmmakers that are out there and working with them. And so I'm just very proud. I've always supported film festivals because I believe that independent projects need an outlet to be seen. And the Peachtree Village International Film Festival is just a wonderful festival that showcases and highlights wonderful young and emerging filmmakers that are just fantastic.
I described you as an actor, an author, and an activist. You are a philanthropist and many other things as well. Among those many passions, is there one that stands out for you more than another?
You know, I mean, first and foremost, my career has been that of an actor, you know, and that's how I started. That's what I do. But, you know, I think that, you know, we live in a time when so many people do so many different things. And there's a saying, an old saying that I just think is a huge lie. And I talk about it all the time to the young people that I work with through my foundation. You know, there was this old saying, people say, don't be a jack of all trades and a master of none. I believe today you can be a master of many things. It just takes hard work. It takes working smart. It takes dedication and training and all of these different things. But, you know, we all are equipped. We all are magnificent and brilliant in our own ways. And we're all equipped to do great things in multiple areas, in multiple spaces. And most of the people that I look up to, they do a number of different things. And that's what life is about right now. And I think impact and legacy are the two words that I like to use to describe the journey. More so than defining what type of career is my focus.
This is 2020, after all, and it's been a year unlike no other. We have to ask, how have you and your son fared during this unusual year of the pandemic?
You know, I'll say that we've been very blessed because, you know, no one within our inner circle and inner family circle has gotten sick. We spent most of the pandemic time in Detroit, which was hit extremely hard. And, you know, I would say that early on in the pandemic, at least every other day, there was some type of funeral procession. And my heart goes out to so many. And that's why I'll tell you, I'm so proud to play a frontline healthcare worker on The Good Doctor, because it's a way to honor the folks that are out there. These are true heroes. And I think that if there are two professions that have shown people how important they are, our frontline healthcare workers, our doctors, our nurses, our hospital employees, and our teachers, this time has taught everyone how valuable all of those people are. And we thank them for their work and what they do. And so I hope that my playing a doctor on TV just gives me one little opportunity to say thank you to those true heroes that have kept us safe and have put themselves at risk to maintain other people's health and safety.
Hill Harper, The Good Doctor, returned this week on ABC. How obvious was it to the staff of writers that your show would deal with COVID-19 and you would get to honor those frontline workers who have been just such heroes to all of us this year?
You know, I think that there was definitely a discussion about it from the standpoint of, you know, are people so weighed down by COVID and coronavirus? Do they want to Do they want an escape? You know, do they want TV to provide an escape? So I think that we've done the right thing. I think, you know, the first two episodes of the season deal squarely with coronavirus and COVID. And then after that, you know, we kind of move on from that. And because I think that we want to show what the future looks like without it. And also, it's much more interesting to see a bunch of actors without masks on than just, you know, masked and goggled head to toe. It's, you know, I think that people get tired of seeing that after a while. You know, you want to see people's facial expressions and all of that. So just the reality of performing and creating an entertaining show says, hey, at a point, we got to, you know, you want to see people's expressions and see them interact. So I hope that our show can be a nice, can serve two purposes. One, be that thank you to the heroes that are out there, and then also be an escape for folks. Because at the end of the day, the show has always been about hope. It's been about overcoming obstacles. It's been about saying everyone has a value to offer. And so I think we're going to stick with those same tenets, and very proud that the show has done as well as it has.
And we do not want a mask covering your handsome face. I'll just say that as one viewer, and I'm sure I speak for many.
Thank you.
Hill, the pandemic has, over the summer, upended film and television production, yet everyone being sheltered at home has everyone binging any content that we can find. Talk to our listeners about the important influence the work that you and your colleagues do has on our society.
Well, you know, I think that we're living in a time when people are really having to be critical thinkers about what is true information that they receive through all their devices, whether it's the TV, their phone, their tablet, their radio in their car, you know, podcasts and all sorts of things. You know, people have to know who's actually delivering that information. And the beautiful thing is that I think that when you've had a career where people have developed some measure of trust, that's great. And at the same time, people want an escape. So that's where the entertainment piece comes in. And so the hope is that folks in my industry, that we can get back to full force shooting projects that allow people to sort of escape, but also tell the truth about where we are as a society, tell the truth about where we are as a world, and actually how we can improve and be better. I think people have been lied to way too much. They've been tricked and duped by so many of our leaders that now I think people are looking for things that they can trust. And hopefully myself, as well as many of my colleagues, can fill that role. And I think that we serve in a very important role in that regard. And film festivals, you know, like the Peachtree Village Film Festival fulfill that role, you know, to be able to offer quality entertainment and quality projects that you may otherwise not be able to see. And I love the fact that you're able to consume these virtually and find them online. And I've seen so many kind of online independent films during this pandemic that I probably otherwise never would have seen that have been wonderful pieces of work. So, you know, everyone, we all in our entertainment, in the entertainment business, we do these things to be seen, you know, so people can see them and be impacted by them. And all of these outlets are vital.
You hinted at it. We are days away from what some call the most consequential election of our lifetime. May I ask, have you voted yet?
I have voted already. I keep telling everybody, you know, please vote early. So by Monday night, November 2nd, you're relaxed and you can sit at home and watch the season 4 premiere of The Good Doctor. So that's one reason. But more importantly, vote because our voice is critical. And I tell people that they should be their own campaign managers. You know, look at the contacts in your phone and make 30 or 40 calls every day leading up to the election and make sure everyone's voting and everyone in their circles are voting. Look at all the people that follow you on social media and make sure they're voting. This election is critical. it's critical all the way down the ballot, not just the top of the ballot, but all the way down the ballot, the local officials. You know, it's a critical election about the future of our country and the future of our communities. And that's why participation is vital. Turnout is vital.
What do you say to voters who are thinking about sitting it out anyway? Because you know there are folks like that who are out there.
Well, here's the deal. If you sit out an election, you're really voting for the incumbent. I mean, that's just consistently the way it goes. I mean, that, you know, when incumbents win is when there's lower turnout. And when there's high turnout, there tends to be the ability to bring new people into office. And that's all the way down the ballot. And so you're voting no matter what. That's what I try to tell people. You're voting. Whether you actually cast your ballot or not, you're voting. And so if you sit it out, you're actually voting for the folks that are in office right now. And if you want to support those people, then that's who you're voting for. So be very clear about that. Don't act like, oh, you know, people say to me, oh, sometimes I don't like the choices, so I'm not going to vote. As if they didn't vote, the role wouldn't be filled. Someone is going to occupy that seat. So it's incumbent upon you to vote for the person that you think would do, even if it's an incrementally better job representing your best interest and the best interest of your family and your community, et cetera. And, you know, I never tell anybody who they should vote for. I just tell them that they must vote, because no matter what they're doing, they're voting. If you sit it out, you're voting. And if you cast a ballot, you're voting. So be intentional about who and what you're voting for.
Absolutely. Hill Harper, this president is known to say that he has done more for the Black community than anyone sans perhaps President Abraham Lincoln. Who do you think he is sharing that message for? And what do you think Black Americans hear when they hear him say things like that?
Well, I hope they hear that it's one of the biggest lies president has ever said. And I hope that they understand that it's yet another attempt of manipulation, of misinformation and disinformation. And, you know, we are in a time that people have been, you know, to steal a term from the Malcolm X, you know, they've been bamboozled. And what they try to do, what so many people try to do, is continue to create misinformation campaigns and create dissension, create division, and all of that. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, folks, we have to be smarter. We have to understand, you know, what the game is, what's going on, and we have to be willing to wade in the waters of not being taken advantage of. And what I mean by that is, people say, well, if we elect this person, they never do anything for us. They take the vote for granted. That's on us. What do I mean by that? Whoever you vote for, whoever gets into office, you have to hold them accountable after they're in office. You have to continue to apply pressure to them. You have to continue to work them and to push them and to make sure that they actually take your interest into account. Now, if you allow yourself to be duped by lies such as the one you just said, that the current president said about our community, then that's a whole other problem. And that's a whole, I think, and to be quite honest, I think it speaks to some deeper trauma and deeper self-hatred that someone may have about themselves and about who they are.
Our guest is Hill Harper. He is the 2020 honoree of the Generational Barrier Breaker Award presented by the Peachtree Village International Film Festival. The festival in its 15-year virtual this year, October 29th through November 1st, including films and artists from the African and Latin communities. And again, congratulations on your honor this year, Hill. But some might argue that the biggest role that you play was one that you chose, and that was to become a father, what, like 5 years ago?
Almost 5 years ago. December 19th is Pierce's birthday, so he'll be five December 19th of this year. So yeah, it's been a wonderful, incredible journey. I mean, I think all the parents out there that are listening know very well the challenges that come with parenthood, but also the joys that come with it. So I'm learning every day, attempting to be a better parent on a daily basis, and it's been a wonderful journey.
Single women adopt, we know that, wanting to be moms, but only 3% of single men make the decision that you did. What has been the most rewarding aspect of that decision for you and your family?
You know, the most rewarding aspect of affirmatively choosing to be a parent, and I also say that I think Pierce chose me to be his dad, just the way that's the way God and the universe works. But the most rewarding aspect is the fact that, family is something that's deep-rooted and deep-rooted in love and deep-rooted in vulnerability and your heart. And ultimately, you don't have to have the exact same DNA or share the same blood as someone that is your family. You know, I think we prove that when, you know, with marriages, we prove that with, like you had mentioned, adoption, we prove that with friends that are family. So, I really love Pierce so deeply and love the idea that I can provide for him and hopefully provide a foundation for him to build whatever life he wants to build. And, we're all in this together. I did an interview last night where we were talking about it, particularly in our community and particularly as Black men. I think that we need to think of all of our young men as our kids. We have to think of them as our children, because there's so many out there that are not, they don't have positive Black male role models in their life. They don't have positive Black men helping them navigate their journey. And so all of these young men are our kids. And in particular, Pierce is my son. And unfortunately, since he's a Harper now, there's a saying about Harpers. They say, you can always tell a Harper, but you can't tell him much. So unfortunately, I think he's inheriting those traits, because I can't tell him anything. So there you go. He's got his own dynamic personality, and he's very strong-willed. And I'm excited to see what kind of young man and man he becomes.
And he is adorable as all get out. I loved your Twitter post not too long ago. He sort of, like, I think, bum rushed one of your interviews, and he had on his Black Panther costume. How critical are role models and representation for kids like Pierce and, as you said, all of our Black children?
You know, they're so important. And the loss, you just mentioned Black Panther, the loss of someone like Chadwick, just goes to show you how important what we do in entertainment is, so that these young people can see themselves as superheroes. They can see themselves as scientists. They can see themselves as doctors. They can see themselves as the whole range and gamut, engineers and physicists and all of these beautiful things. And entertainment provides one of the conduits for that imagery. And that's why, representation in the rooms matter. Representations in the writing room, representation in the executive block, representation as directors and in front of and behind the camera, all of that matters. And so I'm very proud to work in an industry where I know there are so many people who are committed to creating representation.
And there's talk that Chadwick may be in the running for a posthumous Oscar for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. How wonderful would that be for your late friend?
I'm always of the mind that I like to celebrate folks while they're alive and they're here with us. But certainly him being recognized for his work, any of his work, would be incredible. And, August Wilson is one of my heroes, the playwright who wrote Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. And so the fact that both August and Chadwick aren't with us, but their legacy will live on through the words and through the acting, is just a testament to what art truly is. And so it would be phenomenal for him to be recognized. It would be wonderful. And you know, obviously we're all so proud of him. I can't wait to see that film. And my friend Viola, who I remember working with years ago on City of Angels, when no one knew who either of us were at the time. So proud of her and everything she's done.
Well, you've made the point about image, legacy, and impact, and how important those things are, Hill. It's been 7 years since your last book. You got anything else up your sleeve you may be thinking of putting out there?
Oh, yeah. There's always things we're working on. Attempting to create and moving our culture and our community forward. And so be on standby and look out for a podcast project that I think is going to be pretty phenomenal, as well as a tech platform that I'm going to launch that is another piece of hopefully providing opportunity for folks to come together and be empowered.
Last question. You influence so many. Who influences you?
I get inspired by everybody. I just try to look and keep my eyes open and listen. For instance, last night I was on this huge group chat on a platform with 21 Savage, Meek Mill, a bunch of branding people, and they were talking about the relationship between men and women, black men, black women, and how we view and see each other. And so, you know, I get inspired by everybody because I believe everybody has wisdom. Everybody has genius. Historically speaking, the Paul Robesons, the James Baldwins, the Langston Hughes of the world, those are folks that inspire me in terms of wanting to rise in terms of intellectual capacity and impact. But today, I look around and so many young people inspire me because they have so many different and wonderful ideas about the world and how quickly the world is evolving. And so I want to figure out different ways to use technology to create that impact and legacy and use technology to fight against racism and the vestiges of systemic inequities. So that interests me a great deal.
Hill Harper, congratulations again on the honors from the Peachtree Village International Film Festival. And thanks for spending some time with us. You indeed are one to watch. This is a kind of a career achievement award, but something tells me you're nowhere through.
Oh, no. We're just getting started. I mean, I feel like my career is just starting. So we're at the infancy of what's happened. So thank you so much. And I'm so proud of the award. And thank you for a wonderful interview.
Thank you for the time. Have a great rest of your day.
Perspectives is a community and public affairs program crafted with you in mind. If there's a guest you'd like to hear interviewed or a perspective you think should be explored, let me know. If you're old school, just write me. 1601 West Peachtree Street, Northeast, Atlanta, Georgia, 30309. Or message me via social media. I'm Condice Presley on Facebook, Condo29 on Twitter and Instagram. Thanks for listening. Be sure to listen again next week at this very same time as we examine another perspective.